Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
To Border, the best radio show in the state of Wisconsin. Voted on by the Wisconsin Broadcasters Association. The award-winning Wendy's Big Show.
Let's get ready to rock. Let's get ready to go. Get set. Get up. Let's get it on with
the Wendy's Big Show.
Showtime, baby.
Where's the ball?
Showtime.
This is the Wendy's Big Show with Steve Sparky Pfeiffer, former Badger and Packers running back Gary Ellerson, and the inventor of the Lambeau Leap, Leroy Butler.
Well, it's the Big Show. Yes, it's a big, bad show tonight. Oh. Yeah, it's the Big Show. Come on, crank it up and turn on all the lights, y'all.
Wendy's Big Show, serving up hot and fresh. Steve Sparky Fiverr, Gary Ellerson with you. John Heyman, our Odyssey MLB insider and MLB network dude, coming up here in about 30 minutes. Follow him on Twitter at John Heyman. Yeah, and we're going to talk to him about this whole balking thing that's going on in extra innings now. It's happened multiple times.
Why is it happening, Steve? Do you know?
Yes, I got a good idea, but I just want to see if he thinks it's a good idea or not. And it has to do with this extra runner on base in extra innings, the guy runner starting on second now in the extra innings for Major League Baseball. So we'll talk to him about that coming up here in about 1/2 hour. Now, Dian Orlovsky on GetUp did his top five offenses on ESPN and went and did that. And here are the top five offenses. Dan, go let Leroy in. Yeah, I was pointing at Dan to let him in, but he didn't understand what I was doing. So there you go. Sorry, we had to do that on the air. Okay, so Dan Orlovsky's top five offenses in the NFL this season. Number five, the New England Patriots. I'm struggling with number five right off the bat. I'm struggling with Mac Jones leading a top five offense as a rookie in his National Football League
season. That was right there. Dude, are you kidding me? How you come up with that, Dan?
Right.
You don't have to be the smartest guy in the room on this stuff.
No.
And that's what that is.
Right. And that is,
he's probably going to be good, but I don't see that.
Right. And to me, that's the biggest thing where I struggle in all of this is five being the Patriots, but now we go to four. Four's the Cleveland Browns. Okay. I understand there's a lot of love for Baker Mayfield right now. I mean, people are just gushing over Baker Mayfield being that guy this year. That here we go. He took a step last year in Stefanski's offense in Cleveland, and he'll take another step this year. He's got Odell Beckham if he can stay healthy, Jarvis Landry at wide receiver. You've got Nick Chubb at running back behind him. So you've got the pieces in place, Gary, for that offense to be explosive.
Yeah, and I don't see all that either. I mean, I think they're in the top 10, but I don't know if Cleveland would be in my top five.
Not in your top five?
No, no.
All right.
No.
Moving on. Number three, the guy who NFL executives and an ESPN survey believe will be the MVP of the league this year, Josh Allen.
Buffalo's in my top five.
They are?
Yes.
So that one you don't have an issue with?
No. I think Josh Allen, and I know our good friend Rami Makhlouf. We want to tell people who Rami Makhlouf
afternoon show host in Milwaukee.
hates this guy. I shouldn't say hate. Hate may be a strong word, but doesn't value him. I think he's a pretty good quarterback.
He is, to me, reminds me of Elway maybe a little bit. You don't want to compare somebody to a Hall of Famer. But
somewhat.
He's athletic. He can get out and move a little bit. He's got a cannon for an arm, make those throws.
Yeah.
He may not make the greatest of decisions from time to time like Elway.
We're still being young.
But he's still going to throw it.
Right.
And he's going to throw it in there. Right. So the Bills, Stephon Diggs, blew up last year in Buffalo, obviously.
Mm-hmm.
Kind of a running back by committee deal in Buffalo from that aspect. But they've got weapons. And, of course, Leroy, Buffalo's got Jake Kumerow. For Josh Allen, and that probably pushes them into that top five category in offense.
You didn't just say Kumerow. I'm not going to take that bait. I got to learn how to ignore
stuff. It was completely bad. I just wanted to poke at you.
I know. It's fun.
Glad to have you here on Thursday. Yeah,
hey, you know what, though?
First hour went quick.
It did, didn't it?
Mm.
It's sad. You got the, Gary still ain't got that joke. You know, I don't attack the person. You can pick apart the list. Right?
That's what we're talking about, is the
right,
list.
Right,
I'm not talking about Orlovsky's playing career. We're just talking about the top five offenses.
And that's why I want social media to just give me your list. That's what me and Gary all like to say to fans. Okay, you don't like his. Give me yours. Right? So we can pick yours apart. But when you put it out there and not have the MVP, because all this is based on last year or projection, I'm assuming.
This is going into this year. Top five offense in the NFL this season.
Yeah, because to me, you got to start, just for me. Is it okay for me to do my five? Or
you want to wait? We're just going up on Orlovsky's left.
Okay.
So five, he has the Patriots.
Finished. Yeah,
he has Mac Jones and the Patriots at five.
So he put a rookie in the top five.
Right.
Okay. All right.
Yeah.
It's all good.
Four, Baker Mayfield, everybody's darling.
I like Baker Mayfield.
Buffalo Bills at three. I have no problem with one and two.
Mm-hmm.
Two is Tampa Bay. One is Kansas City. I have no issue with Kansas City being one. I have little issue with the Buccaneers being two.
Mm-hmm.
Do you have issue with one or two, Gary, of Chiefs one, Buccaneers two with Orlovsky?
No, not really.
So you're fine there. Leroy, I'm assuming you're good one and two.
I'll give you my list.
Right. But it's not.
Well,
it's,
just
it's,
comment on, do you agree or disagree? I mean, you
they belong in the top five.
I'll give you my list.
Okay, fine.
Yeah.
All right, so those are the top five offenses, according to Dan Orlovsky on GetUp on ESPN.
Right.
Again, don't watch ESPN. Saw the tweet last night, or was it this morning? I don't know. Whenever it was. It must have been it was yesterday, last night.
Oh, okay.
So when I saw it, I immediately sent it to Gary, Dan Plucker, and Leroy Butler and said, here you go. I cannot understand how the Green Bay Packers, with the reigning MVP, the best receiver in football, one of the best running backs in football, and one of the better tight ends in football, are not in anybody's top five offenses going into this season. Regardless if it's Orlovsky or regardless if it's just random Joe fantasy football player in Idaho. I don't care where you live or who you are. Mm-hmm. It makes no sense how that offense is not either one or two, and certainly if you're going to say they're behind Kansas City and Tampa Bay, they're definitely three then. But to say they're not even in the top five and you're going to put Dan Orlovsky, Mac Jones in at five? Orlovsky didn't even go to Alabama to have any type of bias towards Mac Jones or anything of the sort. Like, it just, to me, it just boggles my mind how they're not in the top five. The question is this. Orlovsky left the Packers off the top five offense in the NFL list. Why do you think that is? Why do you think that he's not, that the Packers aren't in the top five? What am I missing? I don't know if Gary and Leroy agree with me or not. But me personally, what am I missing as a Packer fan again, right? Live here in Wisconsin. Do the Green and Gold postgame show with Gary after games. So I'm in it. So maybe those of you listening who aren't as in it as I am can explain to me, Sparky, your Packer bias and your Green and Gold Kool-Aid is over the top. I'll explain to you why he's not in the top five. Please do. I'll be here all day. Tweet at Big Show Network. Call the Van Horn Direct toll-free talk line, 855-830-8648. 855-830-8648. Experience online car buying on your terms with Van Horn Direct. We'll see what Gary thinks his top five should be. Leroy will tell us his top five. I'll give you mine as well. But first, Leroy's going to tell us all about his friends at New Mail.
New Mail Medical Center, guys, is something we've been talking about for the most part the whole summer, spring. Now we're going into fall. And I think for the most part, I did something that one of the customers, because you know you pass people, he said that one of the doctors told him if he are you a coffee drinker or a tea drinker? Gary, you a coffee drinker,
coffee
right?
Drinker, yeah. Yeah.
Steve, you a
neither.
Coffee drinker? Okay.
I don't drink either. I drink lots and lots of soda.
But if you had to, you'd be towards tea, maybe?
Probably.
Or, yeah, right. Okay. Because he was drinking coffee, and he put lemons in it, cut up a little lemon in it, and it was like an appetite suppressant thing. He lost a lot of weight.
Yeah, so disgusting. I wouldn't want to drink it either.
Well, most stuff that take that probably won't taste good. That make you feel good. But the caffeine and stuff like this, so he went and asked the doctors about it. They're concerned about his caffeine intake because he was drinking so much coffee. So he said, I'm not telling you not to do it. I'm just saying cut it down to maybe 2 cups a day, okay? Or something, especially if you're drinking a lot of sodas, because that's where your sugar is going all over the place. It's amazing that his medical doctor didn't tell him this. He had to find it out at New Mail that his lab work is all off. We talk about that cholesterol and things of that nature. All that goes into losing weight, but it also goes to the education of your body. And that's what these guys do, man. They're professionals. They're problem solvers. And if, again, you want to be like you were back in your 20s, 30s, you know, in the bedroom, they can do that for you. You got a 98% success rate. I think for the most part, when you leave New Mail, you feel like a new man. I've invested in myself, and I feel good about my health overall. But you got to call this number, like them on Facebook. Just go to New Mail on Facebook and like them. 414-441-1771. That's 414-441-1771. New Mail Medical Center. Tell them Leroy Butler sent you.
Wisconsin-wide, the Big Show Radio Network. Now, back to the Wendy's Big Show with Steve Sparky Pfeiffer, former Packers running back Gary Ellerson, and the inventor of the Lambo Leap, Leroy Butler, on the Big Show Radio Network.
Welcome in. It is Wendy's Big Show, serving up hot and fresh. John Heyman joins us here in about 15 minutes, our Odyssey MLB insider.
One of my favorites.
Steve Sparky, Fiverr, Gary Ellerson, and Leroy Butler. Wendy's Big Bacon Cheddar is finally here. It's got everything you could possibly want in a bacon cheeseburger. Creamy cheddar cheese, applewood smoked bacon, sweet bacon sauce, crispy onions, and that fresh, never frozen beef that you just love.
How big is that? Because my assistant, Alexa, she ate two of them. Is that?
I would say about 4 inches.
Isn't that a lot?
Yeah, it's a big burger, man.
Two of them things.
Well, I mean, part of the reason it's got so much height to it is the crispy onions, because that makes it look bigger. Onion. Yeah, it's
that's a lot.
Download the Wendy's app and get the new Big Bacon Cheddar Cheeseburger delivered to you today for limited time only at participating U.S. Wendy's. Dan Orlovsky left the Packers off his top 5 offenses in the NFL list. Yet, Mac Jones and the New England Patriots end up on his top 5 on Get Up on ESPN. Then the Browns at 4. The Bills at 3, Buccaneers at 2, Kansas City Chiefs at 1. All right. The question is this. You know, Dan Orlovsky leaves him off his top 5. Why do you think that happened? That's all we want to know. The Van Horn Direct toll-free talk line, 855-830-8648. You can also tweet us at Big Show Network. Pretty simple. Tim tweets at Big Show Network. Orlovsky's off his rocker. Packers offense will be top 2, not 2. That is Tim O tweeting Big Show Network.
Tim, include your excuse me. Include your top 5 so we can know where you're at. It'd be nice if he's off his rocker. Okay. But let me see your 5.
Yeah.
But he said the Packers are 2. So you would think the 2 Super Bowl teams would be 1 or 2. I mean, if you just want to go off.
Right.
But I know the reason why he did it. Other than being the smartest guy in the room.
To get people to talk about it?
Bingo. There you go. But other than that, but that's probably number 1. Because if he put a list out that we're saying, no one's going to talk about it. Oh, yeah. But you, so he accomplished that. The only way he can Michael Jackson moonwalk out of this, Gary, if he say I did this list in June when I didn't know Aaron was coming back. That would make sense.
Well, that's not what he's saying.
I know. But that's the only way. Hey, man, I did it a long time ago. No, you did it yesterday. Right. But I had put it out. I turned it in. You know, you're an editor. Mm-hmm. Your people turn it in, and you may not release it for, you know, you turn your album in now.
Right.
But Lil Nas X don't come out to the 17th. Certified Lover Boy was turned in, but it didn't come out to last week. So I get that. But the Buffalo, the Mac Jones pick is, if he turns out to be a great player, boy, I really hit it. Okay? So that segued me into my five, which I think is the correct one. Brady is number one. Anytime Tom Brady is breathing, Gary, breathing.
You said this top offense?
Offense. Okay. He's number one. Number one.
All right.
Kansas City, number two. Okay, with Mahomes. They may have a dynasty. I don't know. So those are two Super Bowl winners and losers.
Mm-hmm.
Aaron Rodgers, MVP. Top wide receiver, top running back, left tackle. Without David Bautar, averaged 31 points. So if you go by analytics, the young lady we had on, she would say by the analytics part of it, Green Bay should be one.
Mm-hmm.
If you're going by the analytics.
Right, right.
But we go through eye tests. Mm-hmm. Tom Brady's eye test, Aaron Rodgers analytics, right? Okay, right, let's keep moving. Four is Buffalo because they got mm-hmm. Stephon Diggs. They got Emmanuel Sanders. They got a committee at running back. And they got right. a good defense, whatever. Right. So the defense get the ball back for you. But my number five may surprise y'all. It's Tennessee. Tennessee got the number one fullback, and they got Julio Jones and that kid number 11, okay? They're going to put up points. Defense terrible, but this ain't a defense question because their defense can't get the ball back. They're awful. So that's my top five. Brady, Mahomes, Rodgers, Allen, and dare I say – you know what? I'll just say Derrick Henry because I'm not going to have people yelling at Tannehill. I'm not going to do that. But Tannehill's a pretty serviceable quarterback, right?
Serviceable would be a good term.
Did you have the Bills in there at all?
Three. Four. After the Packers.
Let me say it again. Go Gary to him.
Did you have the Rams in there at all?
No. Okay. Why would I put the Rams in there? You better have them in there either because the guy at the top of your list is Matthew Stafford.
That's right.
So he's not in your five, is he?
Well, he ain't asked me yet.
I'm asking you now. You can go to you.
I can't tell you right
now. Go to him, please. I want to hear this. If Matt Stafford's in his five, he's a hypocrite.
All right. Gary Ellerson with that precursor. Give us your top five offenses, please.
Number five. Can I start there?
Sure.
Yeah, do whatever you want.
The L.A. Rams.
Mm.
Oh, my God. This guy.
Mm.
Explain.
Well, I mean, I think Stafford can put up big numbers. I'm not saying he's not going to throw picks, but I think he's going to put up big numbers in that offense. With that offense, play action pass, that defense is pretty good, so he's going to get a couple of extra possessions with that defense because they're going to get turnovers. So I think that Rams offense is going to be pretty good. I got him at number five.
Okay.
Bills, to me, be number four. Mm-hmm. I think Josh Allen, I think a lot of people don't really realize how good this guy is. Dual threat, not necessarily like Randall Cunningham or nobody like that, but still I think a dual threat quarterback where if it breaks down, he can go get it first down for him. To me, number three, Buccaneers. They got a lot of mouths to feed over there, and they got to keep a lot of guys happy. I just think they'll run into some problems there a little bit, but I think, Tom Brady's Brady, so he'll get it straightened out. But number three, number two will be the Packers. I mean, I think right now, and I'll never say this, they don't have the receivers that they had with the Sports Illustrated, but I think this receiving group that they have complements each other. Like, they all do different things. I think Matt LaFleur will be scheme stuff like up LaFleur for a lot of these guys and where they'll get open and they'll Agreed. Make it work. And number one is the Chiefs, obviously. I still think they can score a lot of points. They're very explosive. But I think they got the best tight end in the game.
That's a fact.
And whenever you got that safety valve like him, you're going to forget about Tariq Hill, and there he go.
I can lock him down, though, Gary. In my prime, I can lock him down. I'm the only safety that can lock him down. Matter of fact, I'm the best covering safety to ever play the game. Ain't no safety out there ever cover better than me. These guys, they hit, they get interception, sack, but they ain't putting it on a tight end and locking him down. Hey, man, I was the Deion Sanders of playing tight ends.
Take that cut, send that cut right there to Pete Doherty, and have him just play that when it's time to talk for Leroy for 5 minutes. The man himself right here said he's the best to ever cover at the safety position in the history of the NFL. Yeah. And just play that. Pete Doherty, just hit play. You don't got to talk. Just hit play right there of Leroy promoting himself. A, it never happened, so that in itself
I
was
really
remarkable.
Like doing that, but
right there, just right there, just play that. That's all we're looking for. Again, I perfectly said. No argument whatsoever.
You did your list yet? You want to wait?
No, I'll do my list right here. Yeah, we got John Heyman coming up next. So.
Okay.
I agree.
Can you squeeze it in?
I agree.
No?
I'm right with where you are. I don't have much problem with your list at all. I think number one is Tampa Bay. I fear that, obviously. I mean, they've got all the weapons. It's year two of this offense. They've all been together now for a while. So Tampa Bay is number one. Two, Mahomes, Kansas City. I think Green Bay is really, really tight with Kansas City and Tampa Bay. So, I mean, I think the top three could all fluctuate and go up and down throughout the season before the season is over. I think they're all super tight. I think there's a drop-off after those three. So, Tampa, Kansas City, Green Bay with you there. Mm-hmm. I'll roll with you on Buffalo and Josh Allen there as well. I want to do Dallas Cowboys. I just don't trust Dak Prescott to stay healthy.
Steve, if he was healthy, though, he was on the throw for 6,000 yards.
Yeah, I can't gamble on him actually being healthy.
I like Dak, though. So, I think he'll be all right. That's a good pick put him in there.
Right, so Cowboys would be there, but I don't trust.
Oh,
I
you'll
trust
put him on, as Gary invented this, you'll put him on your auxiliary
list. Right, yeah.
Dallas to be on there.
Yeah.
So you have no surprises? Because I had a surprise in Tennessee, and Gary had a surprise with the Rams.
Right.
Do you have any surprises?
So Dallas is, I was considering, no.
Okay, that would have been
considered the Rams.
Okay.
As well. Considered them. But for you, the same reason as you, I cannot get down with the L.A. Rams for the reason of Matt Stafford. Even though some think he could throw for 6,000 yards, I'm not one of them. I am also with you on number five, Tennessee. So me and you list identical. I have no issues with the list whatsoever.
Stop that?
Just because of, like you said, I think Julio Jones is a huge difference maker to that offense. Now it's just Tannehill. Just don't get in everybody's way. Just do what you're supposed to do. I think he can. And you know, people keep saying that's Buffalo or Kansas City onto the AFC. Depending on how good Tennessee's defense is, Tennessee could be right there with both of those two.
My nephew team, Garrett, was the Ravens. But I say, well, the kid got hurt. So I like Gus Edwards, though. But if DK –
and you got Le'Veon Bell there on the practice squad.
And see, that's the thing. If Lamar – I still don't understand how Lamar – speaking of contracts, we'll revisit that. Lamar and Baker, they haven't gotten their contracts done yet. I think they'll get done soon. You can't let these guys go.
Baker says it's not a big deal to him to be slow played, but we'll see.
I like Baker, man. I just don't think short quarterbacks get enough credit. Drew Brees is what, Gary, 6'6"?
Russell Wilson isn't tall
either.
Russell
Wilson.
Right.
Yeah, you don't have to be like Josh Allen, 6'6", Tom Brady, 6'6". I don't know how tall Aaron Rodgers is. What, he's 6'2", 6'1"?
Maybe about 6'2".
He's not as big as Jordan Love, I'll tell you that.
So that's considered short, 6'2"?
Justin Herbert's got some good size
for
the Chargers.
Yeah, he's a good player.
He's a good size, too. I like the Chargers, too. But, again, more injuries there. Eckler's hurt already. They're running back.
Yep.
All right, take a quick time out. We'll come back. We'll hear from John Heyman, our Odyssey MLB insider. Of course, insider for MLB Network. We'll ask him about these teams intentionally balking now in extra innings. Follow him on Twitter at John Heyman. He joins us straight ahead here on the Wendy's Big Show.
You're listening to the Big Show Radio Network.
Wendy's Big Show, served up hot and fresh. See Sparky Fiverr, Gary Ellerson, Leroy Butler, the two former Packers here. The only place in the state of Wisconsin you can find two former Packers on day-to-day on your radio as we close in on week one kickoff between the Packers and Saints. Coming up Sunday afternoon at 3:25. NFL season kicks off tonight between Tampa Bay and the Dallas Cowboys. So I'm sure everybody will be tuned in to watch that one. Everybody normally is for the first game of the NFL season, especially here in the state where a bunch of NFL fanatics, I guess you could say, in the state of Wisconsin.
Can't wait, Steve.
Lot of people following that Brewers team right now, too, as they're in first place. feeling awfully good about themselves. 31 games over 500. And just doing remarkable things. And to talk about that Brewers team and the rest of Major League Baseball is John Heyman, our Odyssey MLB insider, joins us on the Schneider Orange Hotline. Schneider's hiring drivers right now. For more info, call them 844-PRIDE or go to schneiderjobs.com. That's 844-PRIDE or simply go to schneiderjobs.com. John, how are we doing?
I'm doing good. Go Pack Go!
Go Pack Go. I mean, you know how it is. You used to live in Wisconsin. Yeah. You know how crazy the state gets about this.
My wife is from beautiful downtown Glendale, Wisconsin. So, yes, I'm basically a Wisconsinite myself then.
Yeah, nice. Pretty much. Yeah, that's pretty much exactly what it is. When we talk about John Heyman and bringing him on, obviously, we also have to talk about, why he's on, right? And it's brought to you by BetQL. Get access to data and insights the sports books don't want you to see. Bet smarter and beat the books. Download the BetQL app or visit BetQL.com today. Before you came on, I've been teasing it.
To download this podcast, too. It's amazing.
Yes. Before we get to the Brewers, I want to get your thoughts on this thing that's starting to occur. It's happened now multiple times where teams are balking intentionally in order to get runners from second to third right now when they have a two or more run lead. Would you like to explain why this is happening?
Yeah, I like it. I mean, it just shows that you don't trust the other team. And Tampa Bay did it with Boston the other day. Red Sox had a runner at second. McHugh purposely balked, and the runner had to go to third. I'd like to be where the runner says, forget it, I'm not going to third. I want to stay around second and cheat up a storm, but I guess teams aren't going to do that and probably not allowed. But, you know, anything to help your team. And, you know, if you're paranoid, which I don't blame teams because cheating does go on, as we know, in baseball, I'm all for it.
What did John?
He doesn't want that. The reason they're doing it, the balk, is because they don't want the runner at second stealing signs from the catcher and relaying it to the hitter.
Yeah, the view's not very good from third base. They want them to have
correct.
A bad view. If you're on second, you can see what the signs are and relay them to the batter and cheat. And so the team in the field, the pitcher, is trying to prevent the team from cheating. You got a two-run lead, it doesn't
Robbie,
matter
please.
If the guy's at second or third.
Now, how long they been doing that, John, you think?
Not a long time. Yeah. The Dodgers did it once or twice. Yeah. I can't remember whether it was it Knebel? It was somebody in their pen. And then McHugh did it, and he's gotten some notoriety with the Rays.
Yeah.
But, you know, the Rays are, you know, they're always thinking ahead. And, you know, it's a smart thing to do. So I really don't see why there'd be any criticism. Other than it's a reminder that folks cheat in baseball.
Yeah, they do. And see, if you know the real story, they cheat in football and they cheat in, you know, they cheated in the NBA.
Patriots.
Yeah, well, yeah, we know that. We know that for a fact because they got caught with a hand in cooking jar, no doubt about it.
Yeah, they've been caught like 20 times.
Yeah.
I don't know if anybody else has been
right.
caught.
Right, and they got, about 20 Super Bowls, too, or something
right?
like that. All
right, very sad.
John,
very sad.
Let me ask you this. Outside looking in, looking at the matchups with the Brewers, maybe the Atlanta Braves, is that a good or a bad matchup for the Brewers if they were to have to face them in the playoffs?
Yeah, I mean, I think it's good. I mean, the Brewers are a tough team for the playoffs because of that pitching, as we've discussed.
Right. But what do the Braves have?
The Braves pitching is not as good as far as I they have Charlie Morton, they just re-signed for $20 million, so he obviously must be pretty good if they're going to pay him $20 million a year.
Yeah.
And he is. I mean, he's got a good curveball. Young guy, Ian Anderson, was just come back from injury within the last few weeks. He's pretty talented, did very well in the playoffs last year. Max Fried, a left-hander who's crafty. Been a little bit up and down, but talented. I mean, they're good, but right now Burns and Woodruff are having a better year than anybody with the Braves in their rotation. Braves are tough. Look, they were only one run short against the Dodgers last year to go
right.
to the World Series.
Right.
You know, they don't have Acuña. That's the big one. Ozuna. They don't have Soroka, who really was expected to be their ace. But you know what? They have a small lead. And look, the Phillies have a joke of a schedule. I would not count them out. Mm. You know, you probably I mean, I don't know if you're counting the Mets out. They're still kind of in it, but not too likely. It's probably the Braves, but if not, the Phillies have a shot.
John Leroy Butler, I didn't want to ask you this question for a minute. If they haven't won 100 games, the Brewers, in a long time. So if you're looking, we're looking ahead to playoffs. If you had to have a fourth starter, who would that be? I mean, I mean, Hauser, Eric Lauer, Ashby, yeah. Do you throw him in that?
They've both been good. I mean, look, the Brewers have a terrific pitching. Hauser and Lauer have both been really good lately. Either one would be fine. I think their pitching is in great shape. Obviously, Hader, Williams, Boxberger, and all the starters that they have. I mean, the only team that I would say would be comparable would be the Dodgers with Scherzer and Buehler at the top. And, you know, their pen is, you know, Trinan has the magic stuff. But, you know, even their pen is not as good as the Brewers' pen. So, I could see the Brewers having the edge in the pitching. You got to favor the Dodgers overall, though. I mean, they're the only team in the National League that scored 700 runs. They're also the only team that's given up fewer than 500 runs. So, I mean, on paper, they look like the best team, but, you got to give the Brewers a good shot at it.
Yeah, John, one more for me. Now, I know Willie Adames went on a 10-day DL, I think, on Sunday. Now, is this the player they thought Escobar could be? I mean, hitting home runs and things of that nature. But my question is, they seem to be kind of up and down at times. I mean, they can win 12-0. They can lose 12-0. They can lose 15-4. They can win 15-4. They can win 43. Is it going to be like this down the stretch?
That's the nature of the game. It's a hard game. They've been more up than down. I gotta say that. They're having one of their best seasons overall. It's a long season. There are going to be games like that, I think, where they lost 12-0 into the Phillies in the first game of that series. The Phillies have great talent, particularly on the offensive side. It happens to everybody. It happens to the Dodgers, too. Mm-hmm. But overall, I think the Brewers have been really good, and they've done a great job with their pickups. I mean, Escobar has been good.
Yes.
Rowdy Tellez has been better than anyone expected. And Adames is an MVP candidate, a guy who was hitting under 200 with Tampa when he came over, and somebody with Milwaukee asked me after the trade was done, what did you think? I said, Adames just isn't that good a hitter. I'm a little concerned. Mm-hmm. As soon as he gets there, he plays like an MVP. So right. They know what they're doing. They have a good team, and I do like their chances. I mean, you got to favor the Dodgers. I was asked on MLB today about that, and I said, the Dodgers and Rays, the favorites. I think you got to say they're the favorites, but, I don't think it's going to take a major upset for the Brewers to get to the World Series.
When we talk about the playoffs, John Heyman, who joins us now, the Aussie MLB Insider, MLB Network, follow him on Twitter at John Heyman. We were talking about having this conversation yesterday as far as when you get to the postseason, some teams decide to go with that fourth starter, other teams don't. If you're the Brewers you have the option of Eric Lauer, who's been pitching really well, unexpectedly in my opinion, this year, especially in the second half of the year, you have him, you have Hauser, you have Brett Anderson, you have Aaron Ashby, who came out of the pen last night for the Brewers. If you're Craig Counsell, are you going to try and get through the three-man rotation in the postseason, or are you going to try and have a fourth starter out of that group?
I wouldn't, but it's not my team, and I'm very cautious with pitching. First of all, I think the record will show that going on short rest, unless you're Max Scherzer or somebody of that ilk, generally you see a decline in performance. So I don't mind going with a fourth starter. I mean, if your fourth starter is complete, garbage, if he's terrible, you try to avoid it. But in this case, you name three or four guys who could win a playoff game. I mean, would you like them starting, lining up against Scherzer or Buehler? Probably not. But could they win? Yes, they could win. And I'd be concerned about the young arms. You've got a properties like Burns, you don't want to say properties, assets like Burns, Woodruff, and Peralta. I think you need to be careful, particularly Peralta. I mean, he's had some injury questions this year, so I would be a little bit careful.
John, Of course, we're a little bit biased here, but just wondering, David Stearns, listen, I think he should have been at least the executive of year a couple times and really just hadn't got there. Feel like Craig Council hadn't got their due either. I mean, if you look at the monies that they're dealing with and how they're trying to put this team together, they reinvented themselves. I mean, they got to do it different ways. They just can't go out and buy pitching. They got to try to develop it. I just think it's harder for those guys to do their job, say, like maybe the Dodgers or some of these other teams that have all this money.
Oh, certainly. I mean, the Dodgers have a $280 million payroll. You know, Milwaukee's a small market team. You know, I give the owner, Mark Adonasio, credit because they spent a pretty good amount considering the market that they're in. So I give him some credit. Stearns has been fantastic. I mean, the executive of the year, I think everybody has to think it's Farhan Zaidi with the Giants this year. I mean, you know, the Giants have been crazy good. They've already got 90 wins, I believe. Mm-hmm. And he had several free agent signings, and they were all excellent. So I would say that, you know, he's been kind of given the award by acclamation already. But, I mean, Stearns really is not that far behind. You talk about the in-season moves, the trades, Adames, spectacular. Escobar, very good. Telez. Surprisingly excellent. You know, I mean, Narvaez has been really good. You know, obviously they've been able to develop pitching, which not everybody does. I mean, even the best executives have struggled with that. So, you know, obviously Stearns has done a terrific job. And I think Council, I saw a poll recently. They polled either players or managers or executives, and Council was voted the top manager in the National League. To me, Council and Alex Cora, I'm not going to say they're one and two, but I feel like they're like managing savants. They really have a great feel for the game. You know, I think Bob Melvin's an excellent manager. There are so many excellent managers, but I mean, Council's near the top of that list as well.
It's interesting. Bernie Pleskov, who I'm assuming you probably know, former scout for the Astros and Mariners, a longtime scout and analyst, he just flat out said Council's the best manager in baseball. He said it the other day. I was it yesterday, 2 days ago. So I think there's a lot of people around the league that think he's the best manager in baseball. We've only got a couple minutes left. I just want to get your thoughts. What in the world is going on with the Baseball Hall of Fame that we're doing this on a Wednesday? What? Why?
Yeah, I don't know. They don't consult me.
They
don't
should.
Know the answer to that.
They should.
I knew that the attendance. I haven't seen anything on the attendance, but you know, everybody was speculating because it's Jeter. It'll be enormous. I don't think it was. I mean, I don't know. I didn't hear much talk of it. You know, school night. You know, midweek. Pandemic, you know, there are a lot of reasons that there weren't, the attendance was down, but, you know, maybe they didn't want to, you know, do it on September 11th, you know, out of respect.
Sure.
Yeah.
That could be, but, you know, there are other dates on the weekend that you would think they could have come up with. To me, Wednesday, I didn't get it, but I have not gotten an answer. So I really can't give you an answer, but I'm with you. I don't think that made any sense.
He is John Heyman, Odyssey MLB Insider, MLB Network as well. Check out his podcast. He does with Tony Gwynn Jr., Big Time Baseball podcast. A lot of fun. Always have a good time talking with John. We'll talk to you again next week, John. Appreciate it.
Thanks a lot,
John.
All
right. Great talking to you guys.
You betcha. Take care. There he is, John Heyman, on the Schneider
He's
Orange
good.
Hotline. Schneider's Orange Drivers right now. For more info, call him 844-PRIDE or go to SchneiderJobs.com. That's 844-PRIDE or go to SchneiderJobs.com. And, of course, Odyssey MLB insider John Heyman joins us and presented by BetQL. BetQL is here to help us all make better bets through real proven analytics. Bet smarter and beat the books. Download the BetQL app or visit BetQL.com today. Saw a tweet while we were on there with John Heyman that mentioned Leroy Butler and a comparison to a current Green Bay Packer.
I don't know if there's a comparison.
Oh, it is. Identical numbers. We'll talk about that and who it is and whether or not he might be a future Pro Football Hall of Famer next here on the Wendy's Big Show.
Border to Border, the Big Show Radio Network.
Welcome in, Wendy's Big Show, served up hot and fresh. Steve Sparky Pfeiffer, Gary Ellerson, and Leroy Butler. All here, broadcasting live from the Lakeland University Studios with online learning in 7 locations throughout the state. Learn on your terms, lakeland.edu. So there was a tweet that came out involving Leroy Butler while we were on the air. From PackersHistory.com. You can follow him on Twitter at PackersHistory1. And it simply says, a couple of July-born Packers safeties and their first 2 seasons in the NFL, ages 22 and 23 seasons for both. Leroy Butler, 6 interceptions, 2 forced fumbles, 1 fumble recovery. Darnell Savage, 6 interceptions, 2 forced fumbles, 1 fumble recovery. Butler was first-team All-Pro by the age of 25, Gary. Think about that. Oh, my God. First-team All-Pro by the age of 25. Woo-wee! There's something for you. Now, we think Darnell Savage can get to first-team All-Pro by the age of 25 in the next 2 seasons.
If they move him.
If they move him to another team?
No.
Oh, that's what I thought you were saying.
Another position.
Oh, another position. You're saying that star corner?
Yeah, get him close to the line like Ray Bob did me, Ray Rhodes, and he can do some damage. But being back deep, and have to worry about play action and all that, man.
So you think him moving up will get him in a situation to get the numbers to be
no
all pro?
No question about
opportunities.
It. Yeah, I mean, he'll get sacks.
Tackles.
He'll be like Jamal Adams. Jamal Adams ain't no safety. Move him up there.
Jamal Adams don't get interceptions either.
Exactly. So you go up there and do all that, he'll leapfrog those guys and make a big contract.
He may have the instincts of Charles Woodson. That's what you've got to have.
Savage?
Yeah, that's what you've got to have.
Like Savage. Move him up. Move him up.
The instincts part, I didn't see that part of it. But
you just get that.
You either have it or you don't.
He got a lot of picks in college.
Yeah, I totally get that. All right, coming up next, how much better do you think the Packers would have been had Brett Favre had more say like Rodgers apparently has now? Brett Favre talked about it yesterday.
Wisconsin-wide, the Big Show Radio Network.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with 3 rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic and conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of 4 amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get 4 iPhone 15s on us and 4 lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.